Four from three, but you mentioned some of those five awfully clutch. And 12 of 13 at the free throw line. They would have loved to have gotten there more, but knocked down 12 of the 13 free throws they took. SMU, after a torrid start from three in the first half where they were 7 of 9, they hit just 1 3 in the second half, 1 out of 7, 8 for 16 for the game, 45% overall, and SMU was 7 of 12 at the free throw line. Rebounds end up a +6 for Wisconsin, 16 offensive boards for the Badgers. Second chance points, though, were even at 12. Badgers with 7 assists and 10 turnovers, 8 dimes, 16 turnovers for the Mustangs. The Badgers with 14 points off the miscues compared to 10 points for SMU off of Badger turnovers. Bench points, 17 for Wisconsin and 19 for SMU. John Blackwell with 10 points and 9 rebounds. Again, 22 minutes of playing time. Connor Esiejian, it was, again, some limited, not as limited of minutes for him. He was out there for 13 minutes here tonight. He's working himself back into rhythm. He had 5 points and looked like he had some things going for him in that first half. Still trying to find the form, but we saw some sparks, a couple of them, from Connor in the first half. Very encouraging. And again, the scoring balance for this Badgers team with 5 in double figures, led by Tyler Wall with his 14.6 rebounds, 12 points for Max Klesmet, 11 points for A.J. Storr, 10 points for Chucky Hepburn as he got it going. It was a very quiet night. And then as the game was getting late, Chucky started doing Chucky things, and that was a really good sign for Wisconsin, a 10-point effort from him. And we mentioned the 10 points and the 9 rebounds from John Blackwell here tonight. Badgers, by the way, end up with 11 steals in this game. We talked about SMU's ability to create turnovers, averaging 10.5 per, but it was Wisconsin with the 11 steals compared to just 3 for the Mustangs. Wisconsin 69, SMU 61. That is your final score. Stay with us. We'll take one more break. Be back to wrap things up in a minute. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field. What the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill. And I'll admit, I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We continue with our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show as the Badgers defeat SMU tonight, 69-61, to win the Fort Myers tip-off championship game. Team heads back to Madison tomorrow, and the next game will be against Western Illinois. That'll be Monday night at the Kohl Center as they'll be back home for a week taking on Western Illinois. By the way, Chad Boudreaux's team will take on Illinois down in Champaign on Friday. As tip time for Monday's game will be 6 o'clock Central. Our coverage will start at 5, and then a week from Saturday, the Badgers will take on the Marquette Golden Eagles. We mentioned Marquette with a terrific showing in the Maui Invitational, defeating Kansas last night, giving Purdue all it wanted earlier tonight. So this rugged schedule will continue for the Wisconsin Badgers. But they'll celebrate this and get ready to head on back to Madison tomorrow. 69-61, your final, as the Badgers defeat SMU. And I believe that we have that ready. I think Brian Butch, a couple minutes ago, caught up with victorious head coach Greg Gard.
We're here with Coach Greg Gard after a 69-61 win to claim the Fort Myers tip-off championship. Coach, what a game. We'll just start with that. Well, tell me what you guys are thinking and talk about what your team did to kind of come back from a slow start.
Well, I thought, you know, offensively the first half. We had some decent looks, but also we need to throw the thing inside more. And I think once we did that, we got some decent looks, and we need to get to the free throw line and draw some more fouls. Just the first half, I thought we were a little lifeless, a little dead, and I kept trying different lineups to try to spark us, and a couple of them did. But and then we closed the first half about as bad as you can close a half. So that was talked about a little bit, but we just needed to find our spark. And fortunately, defensively, we were good enough to hang close, and then finally, I kept looking at the stat sheet, and it kept growing from three. But we were able to get to the free throw line. That was big, and defensively, we were able to do enough that when we finally did get the ball to go in from three, Klesman, obviously, Chucky, Connor even actually made a shot tonight. So that gave us the defense, and being able to get to the free throw line saved us and kept us close until we could make some shots.
We talked about Chucky on Monday night, you know, 6 assists, 0 turnovers. Well, I'm going to ask you again about him because he hit some pretty big shots. But I love the little shot fake in the middle to get the and-one opportunity just as much as the threes. Talk about his performance.
Yeah, and he gutted it out because he's not feeling well. He's sick as a dog. So he gutted it out. I mean, I felt he didn't have any juice to him. But, you know, he was on the assistance about wanting to be back in the game when I sat him down there and just trying to get some spark from somebody else. And he went back in and finished with a flurry.
Coach, I talked a lot about kind of this felt like a Tennessee game where you guys could have learned a little bit, right? You were going back and forth offensively, kind of found a rhythm, but you couldn't kind of find those stops against Tennessee. You did here. Talk about kind of what that schedule's done so far. You guys were down by 11, but you gutted it out. Just talk about how all that played out for you guys tonight.
Yeah, they understand it's a 40-minute game and how we need to depend on our bench. You know, our bench is really, I think, giving us some boost. I thought Kamari did some good things again tonight. John Blackwell was everywhere. So that when other guys are struggling or we need a little jolt from off the bench, we've been able to get it. That's the sign of a good team, that we can go to different guys and they can help us out. But, the schedule's been, it is what it is, you know, and it's not going to get any easier. But I like how they've figured out who they need to be and how we need to play to be good. And that's, they're learning. We're not there yet, but we're getting better.
Congratulations, Coach. Great win.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
All right, guys. Thank you. I mentioned the low free throw total, but in the second half, 11 of 12 getting to the foul line. So that's what Greg's talking about. They're able to get there in the second half. And, Coach Gard was saying kind of what you were saying. They got the ball inside and got to the free throw line and then just found some rhythm. That was the most important thing.
Absolutely. And we knew they knew they needed to get the ball. It wasn't hard to watch this game unfold and understand some of the things. Got to credit SMU for trying to get them out of it and what they were doing. And then you look at it and say, hey, when they finally did connect the dots and they did what they were supposed to do, they found that rhythm that they were searching for. Now, like Coach said, they put in a bunch of different players to get that chemistry, to find a way to get it done. And that's what great teams do. And I am going to say great teams because I know it's early in the season. But what they did here were really two really, really good wins.
Yeah, really.
I mean,
yep.
SMU is a very good basketball team. They're going to win a lot of games in their conference. Virginia, we know they're going to win a lot of games. But they came together as a unit and they played for each other. And that's, I think, when I look at this week, what Wisconsin basketball gained. They gained belief in each other. They gained trust in each other. And they got two pretty good, gosh darn good wins as well.
Yeah, they'll go back home with a 4-2 record, taking on Western Illinois at the Kohl Center next Monday night. Again, your final, Wisconsin 69, SMU 61. That'll do it for us. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield, under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For Brian Butch, our engineer Dave McCann, and Nate Strope back at our Network Studio. This is Matt LePay, hoping you'll join us on Monday night as the Badgers return to the Kohl Center to take on Western Illinois. Thanks for listening. This is the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond. American Family Insurance, insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, proud casino partners of UW Athletics. And by Fabic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
For a few years.
Well, and that's a big shout out too. We'll have to remind people at the end of this about that too, because as you know, Arvina, we're in 18 stations in Wisconsin, so
woo-hoo!
Including Madison. So it's a short trip on the Civic Media Network, and we love our friends in Wisconsin, even if they're winning football games all of a sudden. Ho-wah!
We'll see how long it lasts.
Well, we were crushed. We had five in a row, and the party's over again, and now we're all back to being naysayers about our football team here.
Yeah, we're kind of getting into it, too, and, you know, I don't know. I remember being in the 80s, living in the 80s and having all Wisconsin sports teams just be terrible. So I can, you know, we've had a 25-year dynasty, and I'm okay with a rebuilding year. You know, it happens.
Yeah, it does. It does. It definitely does. I know the early 80s, though, you had a good baseball team, and led by Paul person, Paul Molitor here.
Yay, Paul Molitor. Polly Molly. I was too young. That was like 82 when they went to the World Series, and I was like 2 or 3 the entire time. So I wasn't super paying attention at that point.
That's cool. Hey, so we've been our theme is thanks taking this week, and we've been talking about all our native guests about how they feel about this this holiday that people take off, and then we have Black Friday, and then Monday it's Ho-Chunk Day. So I mean,
I thought it was Friday is Ho-Chunk Day.
I think
it's that Native American Heritage Day is Friday, and I think Ho-Chunk Nation Day is Monday.
When I was on city council, I got it put into ordinance with our mayor, Satya Rhodes Conway, so that the city of Madison officially celebrates Ho-Chunk Day on the Friday after Thanksgiving. So, you know, we celebrate that, and it's in the ordinances even, so... It's official.
Awesome. Cool. I love that.
I got to put some applause up on there. I got to use that applause button. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, and then how do you or do you celebrate? What do these days look like for you? Because I know, especially since Standing Rock, I call it Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. You know, my family gets together, you know, most of us live around the Madison area. So we get together, and just eat and really good food. Our Thanksgiving has changed a bit as my sister's, husband. So also my husband, his family's right. His parents were born and lived in Taiwan. So when they come, they bring Chinese food too. So we get a pretty good spread. And you know, I always tell people that it's not wrong, in my opinion, it's not wrong to take time and celebrate things that you're grateful for and you're thankful for. And you know, I think we can change this holiday and talk less about pilgrims and talk more about, you know, these are the things that have happened over the past year that I'm thankful for and I'm grateful for. And I think maybe if more people really kind of got into thinking about gratitude and the things that they are happy for in their lives, maybe that would help shift some of the terrible things that are happening now. You know, like, will we still have a democracy, you know, yeah. After in a year?
We'll talk about that second segment, but this, but yeah, I agree. And, being in a 12-step program, I don't want to really talk about what it is, but this is Gratitude Month. So that's right in the jam what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I think that we can, you know, take the holiday back. I mean, you know, in our communities, we do celebrate things like the harvest, and, you know, it kind of falls into those kinds of lines. And I think it makes sense to spend that time thinking about everything that you've accomplished over the last year, whether it is, you know, growing enough food to get you through the winter, or, you know, your daughter learning to ride a bike, or, you know, things like that. It can be any of that kind of stuff. And I think that we don't take enough time to, like, we gripe about everything and we complain, and, you know, we should take time to think about the good things in our lives and the things that we are thankful for. And I think we can do that without talking about pilgrims.
Oh, perfect. I love it. And I agree 100%. Hey, yeah, it's Thanksgiving, but it's also a time to be with family. And I know Wendy's flying in tonight from New York, and hopefully she's either not overbooked and making some money off the airlines and coming in the next day, or we'll figure that out. But it's exciting, and it's a good time to be thankful and to reflect. Hey, we're with Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're going to be right back after this short break. Ho-wah.
Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence, and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits, so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Right on, and they do great work. And, you know, I just got to say before we get back to the executive director, Arvina Martin of Merge Wisconsin, Haley and I had lunch today at Owamni, and we were talking before the show. Is that, wow, we feel energized after eating that food. It's amazing. And I didn't have any coffee, and I feel like I have had coffee. So talking about food and celebration in a good way is good medicine. Welcome back, Arvina.
Yeah, thank you. I agree. It's you know, with all of the junk and the very processed stuff that we eat, it's kind of crazy to eat something that's stripped down and still tastes good, and it's the right fuel that your body needs. And you're giving your body what it needs, and it's exciting to feel that, be like, oh my gosh, this is what's supposed to be like.
That's exactly what we thought, too. We were drinking some tea. I forget what it was. It was amazing warm tea, especially perfect for a day like today. And we had to double check and even triple check. We're like, is there caffeine in this? And there wasn't. But, you know, just it's crazy what, you know, putting the right nutrients and the right food that comes directly from the ground or, you know, from our animals and our plants. It's wild how quickly you'll feel those effects in your body.
And then eating a whole bunch and instead of feeling that kind of food coma, it's the other way around. And you're like, let's go, let's do this.
Well, Arvina, I don't know if you know this, but Wendy, my wife, she's a vegan. We don't eat the turkey, but we've had different things over the years. And I think we finally found a good jam to substitute. But, you know, all the other ingredients like the potatoes, gravy and the stuffing and cranberries, that's all vegan. So,
yeah,
we love it. And we celebrate that way. I don't know if you can see over my shoulder here, but I did get the.
Oh, his Barbie doll.
The Wilma Mankiller Barbie doll.
Cool.
It came out.
I love it. I kind of want to get one, but I have so much stuff. I need to get rid of things before I bring more things into my house.
I tell Robert the same thing.
Oh, my God.
Must be a Ho-Chunk thing.
I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know. Some of my Ho-Chunk elders love that Goodwill, and I'm right with them. Ho-wah.
I actually was at Goodwill looking for my daughter's Halloween costume with her, and I saw a scarf from far away, and I'm like, that looks like a Native design, and I looked at it, and it was an 8th generation scarf that I got for $3, and I was like, four! Yes! So I'm pretty pleased with that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, hey, now the fun and games are over here now. Politically, how are things happening in Wisconsin here? I know last time we talked about they're trying to impeach a new Supreme Court person that was just elected in and it's done nothing wrong. And I'll say the name, Proto Sewich, because I practiced that and we had her on the show during the election. And what any updates on that insanity?
Yeah, no, they are holding off for the time being. I know that Robin Voss we're finding from public or open records requests that that, you know, the speaker Robin Voss had been trying to kind of pull or be advised by other, you know, former Supreme Court justices or other folks that are in the legal community, and they all told him no, don't impeach her. So that has been kind of sideline, but I don't put it past them to come out with an impeachment, you know, just out of the blue. But the Supreme Court is currently hearing arguments on whether the maps, the legislative district lines in our state are legal. So, you know, we all have our fingers crossed that we can fix the damage done by the gerrymandering. I mean, Wisconsin's state legislative districts are among the most gerrymandered in the country. And it's ridiculous. If you look at the stats about who voted Democrat versus Republican for statewide races, versus who, you know, how the state legislative seats went, I mean, it doesn't add up. And it's, you know, packing Democrats, as many Democrats as they can into a district, and, you know, gerrymandering and figuring out how to maximize their majority instead of, and it turns into legislators picking their constituents as opposed to constituents picking their legislators.
Yeah, well said. And we always say, what a bummer for our friend Trisha Zunker, our relative, who would be jamming right now. And I heard somewhere where the gerrymandering is so bad that for somebody in order to win would have to get 65% of the vote, a Democrat, and 45% for the Republican. So that's, did you, we reported, Haley reported, I should say, a couple days ago that South Dakota, our friend Ruth Buffalo, who's been on our show many times, She was gerrymandered. Yeah, she's been gerrymandered out of her seat, and now they found what did they find, Haley? That it was district wrong and correctly, and their own Supreme Court is like changing it back.
Yeah, it was like they're going through a very similar situation actually in North Dakota too, with the redistricting, and a federal judge found it illegal and that it diluted the North Dakota Native vote. So,
yeah,
I wonder about that in Wisconsin too. You know, that various tribes are, especially the Ojibwe bands, being split up rather than being in the same, whatever legislative district. Also in eastern Wisconsin, whether it is, you know, Stockbridge, Menominee, and Oneida, and or, Pottawatomie and Mole Lake. You know, I back when we had the recall in 2011, I believe, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a analysis of what are the most red and blue municipalities in Wisconsin. So this data is you know, over a decade old, but they found that, you know, what we expected, you know, some of the bluest municipalities are the city of Madison, the city of Milwaukee, Shorewood Hills, which is right next to Madison. But then the other ones, all the other municipalities were things like, that were either on or adjacent to tribal communities and reservations. So like the town of Brockway, down by Black River Falls, is one of the bluest municipalities in the state. And so, you know, I think that disenfranchising Native voters, who are some of the most Democratic voters in the state, is tragic and it's just wrong.
Exactly. You know, and again, let's swing back now to your job as executive director and how I think important not only that women are in the races, but also Native women, too. Let's talk a little bit about that, because we find anywhere from, and I used to joke, dog catcher, but that's to say anywhere from school board on up, we need more representation and in order to change things, because as we see nationally with the crisis caucus or whatever you want to call those meatballs. I mean, I was in Washington, Arvina, and we went into the Sharice got us tickets into the chambers, and it was just like, I can't even be here to see these people in person. I mean, it's like, I want to yell something, but you know, of course I didn't. But you know, it's just we need our friends and relatives to run.
Absolutely. I mean, you can think about it like when the pandemic first started, and the fact that both Congress and the U.S. Senate are majority white and male and older. I pardon the description, but I've heard it described as stale, pale, and male. So it was remarkable to see all of these legislators realize that issues that families are facing, like dealing with childcare, you know, they acted like they'd never heard of this before. And I guarantee that had we had more women, more people that are not millionaires, participating and being members of Congress and the U.S. Senate, that this would not have taken a global pandemic to figure out that childcare is very important to individual families, but also collectively, and it has a huge impact on our economy, mm-hmm. you know? And so because these guys are older and, you know, haven't dealt with childcare presumably in a while or ever, even, you know, this was an issue that never occurred to them. And you know, I like to say that we all have our blind spots. And so when you are in a legislative body and people have different experiences, your collective blind spots get smaller. And I think that's the way that kind of representation is important to making policy that is going to be effective.
Did we just lose a...
active?
I think we lost your audio, Arvina.
Yeah, we just lost.
Can you hear me yet?
No. Yeah, we can hear you now. Just could you do you mind giving out your website real quick for us?
Yeah, and if you're interested in running for office, go to wi.emergeamerica.org. We are accepting applications from women and non-binary folks that feel comfortable in female-centered spaces. Come and learn how to run for office.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. As part of the deal to release 50 hostages held by Hamas, the U.S. and Israel have agreed to pause drone activity over the Gaza Strip for 6 hours each day during the ceasefire. ABC News national security and defense analyst Mick Mulroy says once the truce period ends, the fighting will resume.
You will see Hamas likely try to reposition itself to gain a military tactical advantage over the IDF troops in Gaza. That's why they insisted that the IDF not be allowed to fly those surveillance drones, because they don't want to be seen.
Central Command reporting that the USS Thomas Hudner has shot down multiple one-way attack drones launched from Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says there's no indication a vehicle crash and explosion at the Rainbow Bridge border crossing with Canada was terrorism. She says two people in the crash died. A late crush of holiday travelers picking up steam at America's airports with few issues being reported. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers has pardoned another 82 people, mostly for low-level drug offenses or minor theft. Evers has now pardoned over 1,100 people in his time in office. That's significantly more pardons than any other governor in state history. About a third of those pardoned Wednesday were convicted of possessing or selling marijuana. Felons are eligible for a pardon 5 years after the end of their criminal sentence and cannot have any pending criminal charges or be registered sex offenders. Wisconsin officials are confirming the latest case of bird flu in the state. The Department of Agriculture says more than 51,000 chickens at a poultry farm in Trempealeau County were euthanized to contain the virus. Five birds were infected in a backyard in Taylor County earlier this year. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 22 overnight under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the north, 10 to 15 miles per hour. High of 29 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, lows around 13. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 37.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Great advertisers over the years. We really appreciate their support and all the PSAs and all the things. What a great relationship we have with them and great organization. Hey, Simone, what's up? We're with Simone Rendon of Edible Arts, and we also have Sam Thompson, and I want to get this right, American Indian Family and Children's Services. We have a great producer here. How are things going? And, good to see you, and we miss you at the market.
Yes, the market was a great year this year, and I look forward to next year. But yeah, what we came to talk tonight about is foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have direct questions, or I can just go?
Well, yeah, I thought this would be really great. Kind of just a very good heartwarming story right before the holiday season here. And Simone, I just want to give you like a big, huge thank you. And just for being the amazing person you are for diving into this type of work. I know the importance in keeping Native children with Native families is huge in our communities. And, you know, I think specifically in our family, we can relate to that a lot. So thank you for being here and thank you for the work that you're doing. And we're excited to hear kind of how you got started in this work and the decision that was made to start.
Yeah, so when I was a teenager, a tween, I guess, my mom did foster care. And so we had foster siblings. And they were younger. They were like a newborn, and I think the oldest was 5. So there's 3 kids, and we had them for close to 2 years. And we lived deep in Phillips neighborhood, and there was a huge thing that had happened, and it was scary and hard, and we said, we can't have little kids around here. And so my mom had given them to go to a different foster home. And I still think about those kids today. And so when my birth children, I guess, grew up and moved out of the house, I spent a whole year just living on my own and realized I don't do well on my own. Mm-hmm. And so I started the application to be a foster parent. And I took my time with it. I think on average, it's 45 days is what it takes from start to finish. And I think I took closer to 4 months because I really wanted to like answer the questions and do all of the videos and the training and really ask that question. Am I ready? Do I want to support another person? And what is that going to look like for me? Because I knew that I wanted to do infants. I have a lot of attention. Like a crying baby doesn't upset me in the same way that it does other people. And so I like really started to think about that. Like, okay, so when I get a baby and if it's a crier, like, am I going to hold it all the time? How am I going to have my place set up so that I can always see it and make sure that, you know, it's okay. But also looking deep down inside, like, am I doing this because I'm missing something or I didn't do something right with my own kids? And so I just asked myself like all of those questions. And through that 4 months of filling out this paperwork and asking those questions, I came to the conclusion that I really want to do infants. I want to work towards reunification. I want to be a support person for that struggling parent, whether it's a mom or a dad, and how best to support a parent that's struggling better than to give their infant a really good start. And that's what I look at this job more or less is like, I'm there to give a really good start, that this isn't my baby. But I get to really love it. I really get to hold it and cherish it and tell it all the good things that it needs to hear because its body will remember that.
Right.
And at the same time telling it, you know, like your mom or dad is working really hard to get you back. Like, wow. I really want to support that person in reunification.
Yeah, someone's a poster child for being a foster parent with
AFAX, right? We're pushing those native homes that are only there for that interim, right? Like that's, we're not a foster to adopt. We're really there to provide that native home in the interim while moms and dads and grandmas and aunties and uncles are working their case plans to really get their kids back in their families.
Wow, that's awesome, Sam. I'm a old foster child and an adoptee, and I was going to ask you because Simone was mentioning that, and that's the ultimate goal, and that sounds like to get him back to the family, and that's a beautiful thing, and that's something that's changed over the last 50 years, and thank goodness.
Yeah, that need is there. I mean, just to find families, especially Indigenous families, that are there to provide that interim placement and just support and provide that safe space and say exactly like Simone said, you know, you're doing a great job. I'm here for you. And mom and dad and grandma and grandpa are doing what they need to, or we're there for it if they're not too, and how best we can support that whole constellation of families, right?
Well, Sam, before I get back to Simone, I want you to maybe pop out some information that our Native people listening to the show can reach out to you. How can they get a hold of you and start that process that Simone talked about?
Yeah, we'd love to have you guys. So AFAX, American Indian Family and Children's Services, we license all across the state. Our kind of home base is in St. Paul, but we do have a licensor up in McGregor who does like the northern, the greater Minnesota. And someone, 45 days is if somebody's really, really pushing through it, I think taking those couple of months to go through the training and go through all of the paperwork to really figure out if that's the best option for you and really understand it, I think that is the best thing that you can do. At AFAX, we do have an onboarding specialist, somebody who can meet you out on site, somebody that can walk you through any of the barriers that you might have to try and help you through that licensing process. The best place to start is just going to our website. It's afacs.org, so that's AIFACS.org. You can find training there. You can find the online platform that we use for the licensing process and really all that contact information for us. And if you're at the Four Sisters Farmers Market throughout the summer, Simone has a pile of my cards that she's just handing out like candy. So you can reach out to me as well. And we can walk you through it. Beginning, the middle, and as long as you want to be a foster provider too.
Well, Simone, you were handing around that baby like candy too, that cute little baby you had in your booth. That was awesome. I was just going, I see this baby everywhere. Everyone's holding it. It was great, and it good for her and good for you. Or I think it was a her, right? Or
little boy.
Really leaning on those 50. Community supports. That's yes. What it's for.
Yes. Yeah. And that was the other thing I was going to say is in those months, I really reached out to family members, and said, you know, like, this is what I'm looking at doing. I would want some support. I will need some support. I live in an apartment building. And so I went to every like adjoining wall and across the hall, to my neighbors. And I said, you know, I'm looking at doing foster care for infants. And because some of the infants really do are born with different substances in their systems, there's a chance that I could get a colicky baby. So there might be a crying baby that's crying all the time. And what I found out is that three of my neighbors have offered to look into foster care, to be a support person, and to sign up to possibly do respite.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I have been wanting to build a community, but I didn't realize that I did build a community around me until that moment.
And exactly as Simone said, we've had folks coming through that are like, I want to help with Simone, and I want to help provide respite. And if you're nervous about it, or if that's kind of, if you're just interested, we definitely do license respite homes. We do have some folks that are licensed through us that just provide respite, being able to support the community in that way, just for a weekend, or maybe go on vacation or whatever it might be. And Simone's really kind of funneled some folks through that are there on her recommendation just to do respite. So.
That's awesome. Sam, what are the ages of the children? Can they be older? Somebody like me take them to a baseball game and do a respite on the weekends during baseball season? Or how does that work? And how old are they?
Yeah. So traditional foster care is age 0 to 17. And then there's also something called extended foster care. And really the licensing process looks the same. There's a couple extra trainings that you would need to do, but that's 0 to 21. And we see the need from straight from the hospital, these little babies that are needing some support right out of the hospital up to ages, you know, the 15, 16, 17. We see sibling groups that are coming through. We see all across the state that need that help. And we know that Native kids are very disproportionately affected in Minnesota. And so that need for ICWA compliant homes is always there, ages 0 to 21.
Thank God for ICWA. Simone, what are some of the drawbacks you feel like, are there any? Because you're with a baby boy being and giving him a good energy and getting good energy back. Is it going to be hard to give him back? And are you going to then look for another one? What does the process look like and how hard has it been?
That's a great question. There's days where it's hard. Single parenting is always hard. and I get asked that a lot. Like, are you going to be sad when the baby goes back home? Of course I'm going to be sad. Mm-hmm. Of course I'm going to be heartbroken. You know, like I am fully investing in this tiny little life. Mm-hmm. I also think that's why it's important to have the therapist. and so I do talk to my therapist about that. Like, you know, there is going to be a time where this baby is going to go back. And yeah, I will work with my therapist through that and what that's like. And my hope is to be able to do another infant after that and help another family with reunification. Mm-hmm. In my little dream world, I would love to be able to connect with these parents that I've helped. And let's say little baby is now 5 and mom is going through another hard time and says, okay, hey, Simone, I know you have a relationship with baby so-and-so, you know, could you take them for the weekend? Could you like help in these ways? That would be amazing. That might not be what happens, but in my mind, that's the goal, is to really be that support person long-term also. Hey, so it's not just an end of a relationship.
Absolutely. No, that's really cool to hear. Hey, we got to take a quick break, but we got a really cool question, Sam, I want you to chew on when we get back. And it's, they want to know if you have to be enrolled and assume that there's a criminal background checks and such. And we'll give you a chance to answer that when we get back. Hey, we're with Simone Rendon, a foster parent and groovy person with Edible Arts, and we're with Sam Thompson, foster care licensure, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
Back to school season is here. And while this is an exciting time for parents, kids, and educators, let's not forget how far we've come in our battle against COVID-19. We're in a better place, but COVID-19 is still here, and we need to continue to help protect our communities. With the flurry of new schedules and classrooms, let's not overlook the fundamentals of staying safe. Wash your hands regularly and watch for any symptoms like fever, chills, a cough, or shortness of breath. Should you or someone you know have COVID-19 symptoms, stay home and get tested. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Let's have this back-to-school season be a time of renewed commitment to our collective health and brighter future for our Native communities. Again, find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Right on. That was a good howl. Right to get us in the vacation weekend here. Hey, we are with Simone Rendon, who's a foster care and also a foster care parent, and also Sam Thompson, who is with American Indian Family and Children's Services. And I want to start off again, Sam, if you don't mind answering that question. I thought that we have such smart listeners. I thought we'd start off with that question about do you need to be enrolled and what are the qualifications and how do you vet out our foster people?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do not license exclusively Native families. That is kind of our niche, but nope, you do not need to be enrolled. If you're affiliated or descendancy, just kind of provide that if you have documentation, we'll work with you. And I mean, we're obviously bound by ICWA requirements, which is, you know, federal law. But if you're not enrolled, that's okay. We'll figure it out. That doesn't make you a non-ICWA eligible home. And then for background checks, even though AFAX is a private agency, we are still bound by the same statutes as all the counties across the state. And so we do have to do criminal background checks. There's a couple of things that might be like full disqualifiers, and I don't have that list in front of me. But if that is a concern of yours, I would say we can just go through that process, do the background check, and we have some wiggle room. We have some, you're more than your background, and we want to work with you about these things or with these things. So,
wow. Yeah, definitely. Simone, I just am really happy to know the story. I know Haley knew more of the story than I did, and she got you guys on. So, Haley, I'm wondering if you have a question, because I think these two warriors are rocking, and I know this is something that you really were excited to have them on the show.
Yes, well, I guess have more of a question about the respite care and services for them. So is that just taking, you know, a child out for a day trip, or what does that kind of include? Can you kind of give some examples of what that may look like if someone were to do something like that?
Yeah, definitely. So we consider respite in 24-hour increments. So how many nights the child and spending overnights in your care. There are DHS babysitting guidelines that I don't have in front of me, but you know, you want the child in your care to have the most normal life that they could have. And so if that is going for the afternoon with an auntie, if that is if they're an older child and spending the night with a friend, you know, with their workers' permission, I think that's totally within the means that they have. But for respite requirements, if they wanted to provide respite in the home, we just go through a background check, and we would do some training additionally on that. But if you wanted to have that child in your home for the weekend, we would consider that the same license as a long-term foster care provider or a short-term provider.
Oh, good question. Really good question.
Yeah. So one of the things, like when people have asked me about respite and about foster care licensing, they're like, well, I don't want to start all over again. And I was like, no. Foster care is amazing. Like, if you know you have zero attention for five-year-olds, don't get a five-year-old. Like, you get to ask for what you know you can handle. And being licensed is sort of like getting a driver's license. You don't ever have to drive a car. You don't ever have to buy a car, but you're licensed just in case. And in our community, there's a lot of our family members who have, probably everybody we know or I know, some family member has had CPS called. And if you're licensed, you're the first person that they reach out to make sure that that child stays within your family. And so I think that alone should make at least one person in every household become licensed. And then respite is sort of, yeah, like I have another friend who was like, oh, what if I just want to babysit for the weekend? And I was like, that's respite. That would give me a break. You right. would get your baby fixed, and then you get the baby back to me. You don't have to keep the baby longer than the 24, 48 hours or whatever is agreed upon in terms of the respite.
And a really great example too, and this goes back to, you know, your ideal image, right? You have former foster providers that we might have a child that moves into a new home. And that former foster provider is a respite caregiver. So everybody, you still get to maintain that connection, that attachment, and that bond is still there. You still get to meet with that family and build that community while still moving forward and being that primary caregiver. And really having that support network. I know that's someone you've reached out to previous foster providers, and we have some providers that provided respite for another provider. I'm saying provider a lot, but what that looks like is we get to build that community in that space as well.
And it shows that child that people just don't disappear, which I think is huge in our community.
Right.
Especially with the past swooping of children, is that people just disappeared.
Right.
And how do we keep those connections so that way we can raise that generation knowing what attachment is and can be and should be?
Wow. And then, Simone, how important, I know you have an infant, but how important, I guess both Sam and Simone, how important it is to just keep them in the culture and be around that. I mean, that's something with our older children, I imagine, is huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why you always saw the baby at the market with me. It was as every cultural appropriate event, mm-hmm. I bring baby with. I don't put him in daycare that day. He comes with me because I think even from that newborn stage, hearing the music, hearing the voices, hearing the different accents of all of our people is important, and it gets ingrained.
Wow.
And
yeah, really.
And that's good. Part of AFAX's mission, right, is to create this culturally rich environment with these families that are involved in the community. And one thing that's cool about AFAX, I think, is that so foster providers need annual training hours as part of their license requirement, but there's only a few that are mandatory, and you get to have some liberty with the rest of them. And one thing that AFAX does is that we, not only do we reimburse for training, but we count up to 6 hours of like attending powwows, attending cultural events. That is part of your training, and that goes towards your training hours. Like, we're really trying to maintain that emphasis on Indigenous community, and that's your training.
Wow, that's exciting. I'm wondering too, there's a whole bunch of different kids from different nations. Does it matter if you go Ojibwe go with the Ho-Chunk or vice versa, or how does that look and how does that work? Because some cultures are a little different, but when it comes to powwows and community things, we're pretty much the same.
Yeah, well, the short answer is no. The long answer is going into like placement preferences regarding ICWA. So whatever tribe is the child is affiliated with, that placement preference, if they can't find the relative, if they can't find kin, if they can't find a home within their own tribe, they can look at other tribes as well. So short answer is no.
No, and I'm just curious because, I mean, that's something, you know, I've looked into. I'm very busy right now, but I don't know if I'll be busy in a year. And it's something I've always wanted to do, being a former high school teacher, is to, you know, throw the baseball around even though I'm 63, you know, and it'd be great to play the creator's game, but not break a hip too, but, you know, and hang out with some older kids like that were in high school. Simone, do you got any last things? We got 30 seconds left. I really appreciate you two being on.
No, just reach out to Sam if you have any questions. She is amazing. And if she doesn't know the answer, she will find a way to get you the answer.
Wow. Yeah, Pinigigi, you too. Thank you so much. What a great, and thank you, Haley, for putting this interview together. Very informative and great work by both you. And come on, community, let's step up. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier.
Yeah.
Now.
When a drunk driver hit my car, the structural integrity and safety features of my Toyota Sienna saved my life. I will always own one. That's it. That's the ad. I don't think I need to add anything else, but I'll gladly mention their sales team is attentive and friendly. Their service department is the best in the state, and their vehicles, you can put a lot of faith in the quality and safety of a Toyota vehicle. The structural integrity and...
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mullen. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian.